Lord, and we're just glad to be in your presence. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. And we celebrate you. And we praise you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You guys can have a seat real quick. We are blessed today because we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And I was thinking, as we've been in this holiday season, there's been so many gatherings and meals, and where we come together around a table and share in fellowship with one another, and how blessed we are as children of God to get to fellowship with Him and to come to the table with Him. And it says in Revelations, you know, that he's knocking at the door, and he's asking, you know, who will open up, and He will come in and dine with us. And that's just a desire of His to fellowship, and to fellowship with His disciples when He was here on earth. There's many times, recorded times, where He was reclining at the table and eating with them and fellowshipping with them. And then, of course, the most a significant time for us is the time when He celebrated the Last Supper with His disciples. And so we want to come into remembrance of that today, of what that means, for us, what we're stepping into when we come into that communion time with Him. And also, just as we're in a significant week here in between Christmas and New Year's, a lot of times people take this time as kind of a wrapping up of the past year and a looking ahead to what's to come. And I personally love that. And as we're here, we just want to just offer ourselves to the Lord and to get His perspective on this year, what has gone on, His perspective, and then also to receive where He's taking us and positioning us for 2019. So just as we head into this time with the Lord, we have a video we want to show that lays out the overview of the significance of what we're doing. And so we've heard it and maybe understand it. Maybe we need a refresher. But even if we're very familiar with it, just take time to let the Lord lay out in your heart what this is that we do when we do this. So. You can turn the lights off.
What is the importance of Christian communion? A study of the Lord's Supper is a soul-stirring experience because of the depth of meaning it contains. It was during the age-old celebration of the Passover, on the eve of His death, that Jesus instituted a significant new fellowship meal that we observe to this day. It is an integral part of Christian worship. It causes us to remember our Lord's death and resurrection, and to look for His glorious return in the future. The Passover was the most sacred feast of the Jewish religious year. It commemorated the final plague on Egypt when the firstborn of the Egyptians died, and the Israelites were spared because of the blood of a lamb that was sprinkled on their doorposts. The lamb was then roasted and eaten with unleavened bread. God's command was that throughout the generations to come, the feast would be celebrated. The story is recorded in Exodus 12. During the Last Supper, a Passover celebration, Jesus took a loaf of bread and gave thanks to God. As He broke it and gave it to His disciples, He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." He concluded the feast by singing a hymn, and they went out into the night to the Mount of Olives. As predicted, it was there that Jesus was betrayed by Judas. The following day, Jesus was crucified. The accounts of the Lord's Supper are found in the Gospels. The Apostle Paul wrote concerning the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, 23-29. Paul includes a statement not found in the Gospels. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the blood and body of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." We may ask what it means to partake of the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner. It may mean to disregard the true meaning of the bread and the cup, and to forget the tremendous price our Savior paid for our salvation. Or it may mean to allow the ceremony to become a dead and formal ritual, or to come to the Lord's Supper with unconfessed sin. In keeping with Paul's instruction, we should examine ourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. Another statement Paul made that is not included in the gospel accounts is, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This places a time limit on the ceremony, until our Lord's return. From these brief accounts, we learn how Jesus used two of the frailest of elements as symbols of his body and blood and established them to be a monument to his death. It was not a monument of carved marble or molded brass, but of bread and wine. He declared that the bread spoke of his body, which would be broken. There was not a broken bone, but his body was so badly tortured that it was hardly recognizable. The wine spoke of his blood, indicating the terrible death he would soon experience. He, the perfect Son of God, became the fulfillment of countless Old Testament prophecies concerning a Redeemer. When he said, "Do this in remembrance of me," he indicated this was a ceremony that must be continued in the future. It indicated also that the Passover, which required the death of a lamb and looked forward to the coming of the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, was fulfilled in the Lord's Supper. The New Covenant replaced the Old Covenant when Christ, the Passover Lamb, was sacrificed. The sacrificial system was no longer needed. The Lord's Supper, or Christian Communion, is a remembrance of what Christ did for us and a celebration of what we receive as a result of his sacrifice.
So I should have warned you, it's kind of fast video, but it's just an awesome reminder of all of the elements that go into the Lord's Supper and what the significance is. And at the beginning, it was talking about how the Passover meal was originally instituted when the Lord was delivering the Israelites out of Egypt, and how the Lord was delivering his people from captivity, from oppression, from something that was greater than themselves, and he miraculously came in and made a way for them to come out of that oppression. And at that time, he was sending a plague where the firstborn son of every household was going to die unless there was the blood of the lamb over the door. So every Israelite family that wanted to come under the covenant of the Lord and say, you know, we are proclaiming that we are under the banner of the Lord, they had to kill a lamb in a specific way and prepare it in a certain way to eat, but also to paint the blood of that lamb over the doorpost. And that's what signified when the angel of the Lord came by, that this household was under, you know, the blood of the lamb, and that that judgment passed by them. And so that was in the Old Covenant, where there was this deliverance for these people, and they were brought out, they were miraculously, you know, taken out of captivity, set into freedom, and led by the Lord, and saved from death that day. And it was celebrated then for years and years and years, where they were to remember what the Lord had done by celebrating the Passover meal together. It was a yearly remembrance. And then the Lord brought that into a new place when he celebrated it with his disciples right before he went to the cross. And he brought that old covenant and brought it into the new covenant that we have with him today, where it's not just the blood of a lamb that is able to save the one you know, oldest son of the household, but it's the Lamb of God who gave himself for the entire world. That we can come under his sacrifice, and it brings deliverance to us from the enemy. And so as he was breaking the bread with the disciples and drinking the wine with them, he was saying, this is the new covenant, you know, that I'm making by myself being the sacrifice for you. I'm taking you into a new covenant. And as we were just celebrating Christmas and we're, you know, focusing on Emmanuel, he's coming to earth, you know, he's coming as a baby to be here with us, but also looking ahead at what he was coming for. And I have a bunch of markers in here, but John the Baptist recognized what he was coming for when he was baptizing in the river and he saw Jesus coming in John 1, verse 29, it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" So when we think about Jesus coming, he was coming to be the Lamb of God who is going to take away the sins of the world. And in Luke 19, the familiar story of Zacchaeus, when Jesus comes to Zacchaeus' house and eats with him, and they're saying, "Why are you eating with a tax collector, a sinner?" And Jesus says to them, "Because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So he came to be the Lamb to deliver us from sin. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And finally, in 1 John, somewhere. 1 John. It says that he came, I can't find the verse right here. But it says that he came to destroy the works of the devil. And so as we're looking at who Jesus is to us and who we are coming under this morning as we come and celebrate the Last Supper with him, we're coming into that entering into that covenant with him, remembering that we have entered into this, that we have aligned ourselves with Jesus, just like those who painted the blood of Jesus above their door. We are aligning ourselves with the Lamb of God, the one who came to take away our sins, to destroy the works of the devil, to seek and save that which was lost, that he has come to deliver us from oppression and from everything that the enemy would try to hold over us. And so as we're entering into this today, to just take that moment to say, "Yes, I am aligning myself with the Lion of Judah, the one who's roaring, the one who's roaring over me, the one who is more than able to bring me out of this place and bring me over here to the place he has called me, the destiny he has for me, the place of freedom and release from sin, from oppression, from depression, from everything that's holding us and bringing us into the land of promise." And so we want to take a moment before we come up to the table to just spend time with the Lord, examining ourselves, as they said, that it's not a thing to take lightly. When we come to communion, oftentimes we feel like everyone's going forward, so, you know, we should go forward. But the Lord said this is something significant. It's a covenant that we have with him. And so we want to examine our hearts beforehand. And if we're not at a place to enter into that today, that's okay. And if children aren't at a place to enter into that yet, that's okay. It's better for you kids to wait until you have that connection with the Lord and know the significance of what you're doing before you step into it. So it's okay if it's time to wait. And parents, you can ask the Lord whether that's for you and your kids, where they're at. But we want to take this time during the song to just examine your heart and let him speak to you, whatever he's speaking, to examine where you are before the Lord when he's come to free us from the enemy, to free us from the holds the enemy has on us, to free us from sin that we've been struggling with, to free us from anything that would keep us from full freedom in him. That this is a moment for you to just come and say, "Lord, be my deliverer, be my lamb who's the sacrifice for this very thing in my life, and I want to step beyond it and let you deal with it right here." And then also as we're bringing a close to the past year and looking ahead to 2019, to just ask him just to give you his perspective on what's gone in the past and what's coming in the future, because we want his our eyes on him, the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah, as we go into 2019. So, and at the end of the song, then you're welcome to come forward.
All I am is all I have, and all I have to give, and I give it all to you. It's my fragrant oil, it's my costly perfume. I'll take my alabaster box and I break it open. Let the fragrance arise, la la la.
First Corinthians, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So, Father, we do this today in remembrance of you. We thank you and we worship you for establishing the new covenant for us, Father, by your blood, by your sacrifice. And, Father, we come into agreement with you today. Lord, we put ourselves under the banner of your love, Father, of your blood, of your life, Lord. And we just enter into that covenant wholeheartedly with you this morning because you are the worthy one. You are the wonderful one. We love you. We worship you. And we go forward with you from today. Thank you, Lord. We're going to play it again, and you can come forward.
Pick me up like a all I am is all I have, and all I have to give, and I give it all to you. It's my fragrant oil, it's my costly perfume. I take my alabaster box and I break it open. Let the fragrance arise. La la la. I'm not afraid to die. it's my costly perfume. I'll take my alabaster box and I'll break it open. I'll break it open and I'll pour it out. And I'll pour it out over you.
Father, I just thank you for this tender time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we celebrate you. We remember you. We receive you. Your name is lifted on high in this house. Your name is lifted on high in our hearts. Your name is lifted on high around the world, being our King, our Savior, our Lord, our all-sustaining one. Father, we just pour out our worship on you today, our fragrance, Lord, of love and affection and devotion and dedication to you. Just thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this precious time, and thank you for the healing that's taking place in our bodies, in our minds, in our wills, in our emotions, in every part of us, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that as we encounter you, we rejoice. We rejoice in the truth that you live on the inside of us. And Father, as we take the steps, as we were so beautifully reminded this morning, to do this in remembrance of you, Father, we proclaim your death. We proclaim your burial and your resurrection. And then the end will come. We proclaim you. The simple devotion to you, Lord Jesus Christ, which propels us to the ends of the earth, which propels us into a place of receiving your heart for people, your heart for the nations, your heart for all things that you so desire to see accomplished. You laid it out so beautifully. Just the embodiment of our Father in heaven, Lord Jesus. And those who have seen you have seen the Father. Those who receive you receive the Father. So today we receive you again in deeper places. Your love, your grace, your mercy, your empowerment. Your empowerment to walk in the fullness of who you've proclaimed for us to become. We thank you for that, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your divine hope, your divine protection, for your safety. Thank you, Father, that in you there is healing. In you there is restoration. In you there is truth. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you that we live in this world, but we're not of it. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that who you are to us supersedes anything, any other relationship. But in that closeness between you and us, the spilling out of that love will touch every relationship that we have. Father, I just thank you and praise you for the remembrance to come into a place of checking ourselves, of reminding us, Lord God, that we do not want to take the elements today in an unworthy fashion. So thank you for receiving our heart of connection and repentance. Thank you for receiving the challenges of love today. Thank you, Father, that we feel your closeness. We know you. We hear your voice. We receive your promptings. Thank you, God. You're so good. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. If anyone was not feeling physically good through this today, is there anyone here who's feeling a significant change? You just felt something move or change in your body? Anybody? Well, I know he's touching us. And I know that the celebration of life here today with the Lord is what it's all about. And I know that for 2019, I believe that we're looking forward to together just a deeper way of expressing our love back to him, looking for that, desiring that, wanting that, that fury and that fire on the inside to just capture us deeper, deeper and deeper. I just really encourage everybody to celebrate communion in this beautiful, simple way at home, together as a family, as spouses, even as just one-on-one if you don't fit into those categories. But we all live somewhere. But even one-on-one, just intimate time with the Lord is just so great to be able to celebrate Jesus like this and not just do something rote. I've been in many services, many church services, where things are done a certain way, and there's an expectation, and it's so easy to fall into a place of just, you know, I don't know if there's a real connection here, but this is what I do. And boy, that's not what we want. Ever. It's not what Jesus modeled at the Last Supper. It's not what Jesus modeled during that time of Holy Communion, if you will. That's not what Jesus did at the Passover, celebrating that Passover before his death and preparing all of us. It's just so significant. We're going to look at some of those verses today, just what was surrounding all of that with the Lord just touching us deeply in this special communion service. And just pray that you were touched this morning, as what Rachel shared was just very timely, very important, and extremely serious in a good way, joyfully serious, that we would take that as parents and grandparents so personally to be able to speak to our kids, speak to our grandkids, and not only speak but model that more and more. Because in that type of connection with the Lord, there's power, so much power that's released. Because when we know him, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. And we are in a season more and more, as Jesus is getting closer to coming back, right? We're in a season where the Lord is saying, you will know them by the Spirit. You will know them by the Spirit. And we need to know people by the Spirit, okay? More and more. And really develop from the Lord such a hatred. I say that with a smile, but such a hatred for sin or anything that's not of Jesus. And how to navigate through that with people in circumstances and situations. Oh, thank you. Oh, how nice. That's a blessing. But the Lord's going to teach us more and more how to go low, how to love people where they are, and how to release who he is, how to be able to speak the true gospel of the kingdom. Speak it, preach it, model it, live it more and more, and go to the ends of the earth and go to places where people are dying by the millions They're dying and they're not knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. They're not coming into that place of safety. And the Lord says, we need to go and tell them. Because how are they going to know if we don't go and tell them? And that's what I really love about you here at Frontline, is that you have that heart and you desire that. You desire to go and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. I was in a church service this week and there was much talk about doing modeling kindness towards other people, and that is so Christ-like to be able to do that. But I can tell you that I modeled a lot of kindness not knowing Christ, growing up doing really nice things, doing good things in my early years, but not knowing Jesus, having an affection of some kind but not connecting, but still doing good things because love is so big. So all those things that we do for Jesus, we think, really need to start at a place of connection where we empty ourselves as he emptied himself for us. And if we can come to a place in our life where we see where that connecting point really begins, where the Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of us, and we hold fast to that, and then we grow from there, it will enable us to be able to continue to do good works, to continue to have faith without works. There's no faith, right? We need to have true faith in God, belief in God, not only to say that we believe, but to become a follower. We need to follow the Lamb and follow the Lion of Judah so that we hear his roar and we can carry that roar to the ends of the earth. This is not semantics. There is a definite line that's drawn in the Spirit by God. And only he ultimately knows. But at the same time, our spirits need to rise to latch on and help people step in to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And we're going to look at some verses here. I'm going to release the kids in a minute, but I just wanted to make a quick announcement that we're not having fire and wind on Tuesday, because that is tomorrow, right? Is this Monday? No, this is Sunday. 2 days. Sorry. A little bit of crazy week I've had. And but we are gathering as part of Fire and Incense. We've called it 100 Hours of Prayer and Worship. So Fire and Incense begins on New Year's Day, and goes through Friday. And on Thursday night, we're going to have a corporate gathering from 7 to 9, where we worship the Lord. We'll have our tables. We'll have everything set up back here, maybe up in the front. I'm not sure what people are, how they're going to set it up. But on New Year's, I'm not sure what time we decided on that. How are we starting that, James? Or what was the time? 7 on New Year's Day, correct? No, New Year's Day. I'm talking about when we start fire. When we start fire and incense, midnight on New Year's night. Thanks. That's what I thought. Just clarifying. So you can come in here. The doors will be open. The heat will be turned up. It won't be as cold as it is today. It's like, oh. And we just invite you to come. The sweet presence of the Lord will be in here, is in here. And then worship the Lord. We'll have music and places for prayer and worship. But then corporately with live worship, so to speak. Hopefully it's all live. But worship with people. And the worship team will be Thursday night from 7 to 9. Okay? So children, you're released to your classes. Have a short word today. And encourage you to come for a New Year's Eve celebration, and the time for that is what? Doors open at 7 and food at 7:30. And you've all heard from Tiana about this, right? They all know what to do. Everyone knows what to do. Because I've not been reading my email, so I'm really sorry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you could all turn in your Bibles, I'm going to look at two general passages. Excuse me. In Matthew 20, where are we? 25. Matthew 25, you can turn to that, please. But also keep your finger in John 12. So if you can find John 12, that would be awesome. So we have two areas going up, and I didn't give them the actual text, so I don't have them up on the screen. That maybe Angie's really good. She can put them up pretty quickly. So John 12 and Matthew 25. I want to thank all of you, and I should have done that before everybody left, but I want to thank all of you who have been so kind and gracious to support me and Pastor Bill and our family with the passing of my dad going to heaven. And there's no greater joy in knowing that people who are close to you are in the hands of the Lord. So I praise God for that. And thank you for the many flowers and things, expression. One of them that is still at our house is the one from Frontline, so it didn't make it here. But thank you so much. So it was a tough time over the holidays in one way, and a joyful time that wasn't tough in another way. So it was just a mixture. And I know many of you were able to come out to the calling hours and in the funeral, and I thank you for that. And I'll have to say that to the beautiful people here that left for Kingdom Kids. Many of them I've already expressed that to personally, but I also want to say it here. And thank you so much for the kind words on Facebook and in text to us and expressions of love. What do you need? Because it was a real shock when Pops passed into the next world. We weren't expecting it, even though he was old. He was 95. But at the same time, he was rallying in many ways, and so we weren't expecting to get the news that came the way that it came. So it was like, whoa. But a lot of family came in, so that was great. And that was a real blessing to see what God wants to do in our extended family. And praying for our daughter, Christy, who became ill, which was very tough on her during the funeral time. So she wasn't able to participate as she would have hoped to. And it was tough for them, tough for the Jacques, tough for on Christy. And then also her back went out yesterday on top of that. And she's being pointed to. She's, where are you? Are you here? She's on the floor. My daughter's here. She made it. So praise the Lord. So it's been a struggle, in a lot of ways. There's just this joyful hilarity of, oh my gosh, do you remember when? And then there's, people throwing up, just real extreme times. But the Lord, all things are from him, through him, in him, to him. That doesn't mean that he causes the vomit. I don't mean that. Or the back going out. But the Lord looks at everything. And he says, I am who I am. Keep your eyes on me. And it'll be okay. And it really is okay, because all is well with my soul. So I think all of us in our family have learned a lot more than ever before in this week. And there's greater sensitivity on many fronts for all of us. And I shared from my heart on Christmas Eve, and I know many of you had other things going with your families and you couldn't be here. So we'll have that up sometime, or maybe it's up now, I don't know. But you can hear what I said and a couple examples that God had given me that I was able to share. I don't want to repeat them all, but they're beautiful and they're good and they're from the Lord. So you can get that when it's up on us. So it's Christmas Eve and it was beautiful, but I just personally, with Pastor Bill, want to thank you so much for your kindness and your grace. And pray for us, because now, we're going to Brazil, but there's, a million things that everyone wants to see happen yesterday. Well, probably isn't going to be that, but a lot of things going on. So in the midst of that, we have the privilege of getting ready for Brazil and having mission training weekend and fire and incense and celebration of New Year's. So this is great. So we're looking forward to that. I just praise the Lord for his sustaining grace and sustaining power. So when he gave me these verses, I just want to go over some of them today. I want to look at Matthew 25, 31 through 46. So, Ange, if you don't mind putting those up, that would be great. And I think the Amplified would be good. I'm going to read it in NASB here, because that's what I've got in front of me, but I think that would be great. So I'm going to read it from mine, and you can follow up there, and we'll go from there. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, Then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. This is like really extreme. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Notice the family heart of Jesus. That's what are my words. 41, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, they're calling him Lord. When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of the Lord that was just received here, I've heard this since actually I was in high school. As a little girl, I don't remember, but in high school, when I went to Central Catholic, I heard this. I'd go to every mass, and I would sing every song, and we had our, bless you, we had our guitarist, and I went and got communion, and I did not know Jesus. I didn't understand what that really meant, but I was very familiar with this. In fact, I was singing it this morning, and at my dad's mass for the funeral, as part of the funeral, there was a singing of and a repeating of some of this, at least. And I was just remembering back to myself in my own life and remembering what it was like for me and remembering how I felt something warm and close because Jesus is everywhere, right? But I didn't know him. I had not been washed clean. I had not been made righteous. I had not come into a relationship when I was baptized as a baby, when I had made my confirmation, all those things. My personal walk with the Lord was established when I gave him my heart and my life. And he gave me new life inside. And that wasn't until my early 20s. And so for me, being able to separate that for me at first was really awkward. After I received Jesus and not knowing I received Jesus and what that really was, but when it went, all this that was all about, all this pre-Christian stuff that I did and felt kind of good about and close and played mass at home and used the family Bible and wrote in it, you know, all the things that you do as a kid in preparation was bringing me to the place of saying, Jesus, here I am where I can give you myself and present myself to you. And I didn't even know in the Bible that's what you needed to do, because all I ever heard was this, to be honest with you. That's all I heard. And I did really good, some good things in high school. Lots of good things for God, or what I thought was for God, mixture of things. But I hadn't had a saving continued a time with the Lord where I said, I give you myself. Where his righteousness just clothed me, where I was cleansed. Interesting. So, you know, it's like, well, Lord, I don't want my experience to define theology. I want to understand what theology, what the Word of God says, and then say, so what happened? What does it look like according to your Word? Because we are going to take a look at what God's Word says about his Word, because Jesus didn't come into the world to judge the world. He says that judgment will happen, but it'll be by my Word, because the Word has already been spoken. And he is the Word, and the Word made flesh. So it's very clear in the Word. So he's very clear here that he's saying, those who truly know me, who are righteous, who have been cleansed and freed in me, and moving in that direction even in a greater capacity, those people will be ushered into eternity. And there'll be others who did really great things and took care of people, but wouldn't even understand a passage like this. I didn't. I considered myself righteous, and I wasn't yet. I was being drawn by the Lord himself. And when he revealed that to me, and when he said to me, he said, this is who I am. You are to come to me. Present yourself to me. When I did that, in my search for God and willingness to say, all right, God, if you're really real, you better show me. And if and when you do, what kid does that, right? That's what I did. If and when you do, then fine, you've got me. I'll give you my whole life. I'll serve you, and I'll love you. Those things I said to God with my right fist in the air, because I was so unsettled. There was such a tug of war going on in my heart, because I didn't have what he said I could have, because I was a chosen one in process coming into that place. But I had to repent. I had to give myself to the Lord. I had to offer myself to him. And I didn't know squat. Truly, I had not read the Bible. I'd been to lots of Catholic training, but I didn't have someone saying, here's the gospel. I thought this was the fullness of, well, you do good things and that's it. I really did. Because that's all I knew. But I never knew we were to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. I never knew there were commands of God. I never understood that his last word to us is a command of love. I didn't understand any of that. I never had a desire to do that at all, ever. All I did is ask questions. All I did is wonder with the people around me. I wondered with my family, thought I was crazy. Some of my family members I didn't even wonder with. You can't talk about Jesus. Oh my goodness, no. So I was a pioneer, still am, in my family when the Lord was just going, that one. And if you missed Pastor Bill's message last Sunday, it's a good one. He did a great job unpacking what it can look like in a family to be a pioneer. It was really good. And what was the other word? Pioneer and prototype. Yes, so get that. Listen to it. You'll be encouraged. So I realized, okay, in my family line, my grandmother said a prayer with Pat Robertson on TV. Okay, and we're trusting that was what enabled her to go be in eternity with Jesus. We're trusting for that. And she began to read the Bible, things like that. But as far as pulling away from anything that would encumber her, I never really saw that. But, you know, I'm not anybody's judge. But the Lord knew. So as far as the first fruit, really, the pioneer to step out and say, Jesus, here I am. You've got me. I give you my life, not knowing what I'm doing. Being willing to be persecuted, being willing to suffer, being willing to be rejected, things like that, which I didn't understand is all part of it too. I didn't get that. I didn't know. I didn't understand any of this. Never knew a missionary. Never even had stepped foot inside of a Protestant church ever. Didn't even step foot inside. Wasn't allowed. So, you know, I wasn't bitter or anything. All I wanted was the truth, though. So here I am on this search, not knowing I was on a search, really, a real search, kind of. You know, not like, okay, here's what you do. So now you're on a search and you're you know, going after things. I didn't know that that's what was happening, but that's what was happening. And I would talk about it. It was just kind of funny. I look back at that. But the Lord has steps for us in our pre-Christian state. We cannot live in a continued state of practice sin and just think, oh, well, whatever. Doesn't work that way. The Lord's loving us and he's pulling us. But he's not okay with it. It's not okay. We don't want to delude ourselves. We don't want to fool ourselves. We don't want to deceive ourselves thinking we're okay. And God loved me so much, he pulled me out of that delusion, out of that. I was self-deluded because that's what I understood to be true. And my inner vow, good vow, I think, when I had gone through all of this in my own life, was Jesus, let me be a model, an example. Let me be who you say I can be and represent you to anybody with the full truth, as much as you release full truth, as much as I can receive it. Is that kind of simple? It's like, how do you do that? I think about that all the time, actually, not just with my family, but even, you know, in missions. What's that like? So if I give a cup of water to somebody overseas or here, or I just feel, you know, my heart, Lord, I believe you're saying this. I want to be led by you, and I want to go just love and bless this person. There's a caveat with that when you know him and when you're righteous. There's a caveat. But with that cup of water, okay, I give you that kiss of love, but my heart of fire and knowing Jesus is seeing beyond that cup of water, because there's a lot of humanitarian work out there all over the world, whether you're Democrat or Republican or not anything, whatever it is, it's like, let's do good for people. Okay, well, that's nice, but that does not get someone to heaven, period, in and of itself. So just that constant, Jesus, show me yourself in the scripture. What was it like for you when you were preparing all of your guys and ladies for what was going to happen to you and what was going to happen after that and what you were doing after you rose from the dead and you appeared to over 500 people? What were you doing and thinking, and how does that impact me, and what am I willing to lose? What cost am I willing to pay? When the one who gave his entire life for me said, just present yourself. Just give me yourself completely. And that will cover all your finances, all your time, all your efforts. Okay? Because when you give yourself, just your little self, and say, here I am, then someone's going to see the message that will lead them to the cross. And that's what I believe happened to my own father. But there was a lot of discussion, a lot of love challenges, a lot of Jesus what, Jesus when, Jesus how, Jesus, the greatest desire of my heart for my Father who's in heaven, and I know, as the Lord has confirmed that, thank you, Jesus, was that he would respond to the fullness of the gospel, and that would be his legacy, not just doing good things. And I pray for my family that's what they will eventually all see. That's a desire in my heart, because that's what I want to see for my life, my little immediate family and extended family, But isn't that what you want for your loved ones? Isn't that what you want for those who are closest and then the extension of that, to really know Jesus and say, I give up. I give up. I give you myself. Here I am. I don't want to run my own life. I don't want to run my own deal. I don't want to make up my own theology because it feels right. I'm not going to judge myself by how I feel. I'm going to look at your word because that's what your word tells me clearly. And then I'm going to respond to you. And interestingly, in this passage, in chapter 25 here, let me just find the right one here. Verse 44, after Jesus said, you know, I turned to the people on my left and said, okay, I was hungry, you did nothing. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing. I was sweat. And they were perplexed. Why? Because they did give. They gave, but they didn't give him. They gave. Notice that. The Lord's looking at our actions that will come out as a result of the motivation of our heart. So it's not just our actions. Otherwise, every good person who worships a God of a different faith would be in heaven someday, right? There's lots of really wonderful things that are done, but that's not what it says here. It says, you gave me. In other words, you recognized me in that doing. So faith without works is dead, but the Lord's saying, it's me, guys, it's me. It's presenting yourself to me, and out of that will flow. It's like, whoa, this is deep. I didn't know that when I was a teenager. I was asking those questions. And then just to, before I read that verse, what's coming to me here, and I had no idea I was going to tell you this. None. I had a different. I had this passage and one other, but I didn't really know what God wanted to do with it, frankly. This is amazing. I'm telling you this. So there must be something very worthwhile in it. When the Lord, the day that I had my right arm up to the Lord, and I was in the challenge, you know, with God. When I had to put an if, because I was still in control. But there was a little bit of this, but you're God, but still, I'm going to tell you what's up. I mean, really? But I did. So, if, because I'm in charge, but you're not, but I'm not. And when you show me this Jesus stuff, if he's really who supposedly is way bigger than me that I don't get, that I've been going to church and the whole nine yards, and not so much in the early 20s. It was like, you know, it was more of a CNE Christian or Catholic, Christmas and Easter at that point, right before I gave my life to Jesus. But he was after me. And he said, he was pulling me to myself, to himself. And I said, if and when you do, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you my whole life, and I'm going to love you my whole life, and I'm going to serve you my whole life. And all I want is the truth, and honestly, nothing but the truth. That's the judicial side in me. My family always thought I should be in government or in lawyer work or something like that, you know, judicial. They still don't see this, which is fine. So I know who I am and where I'm supposed to be. But that's what I said. And I said, you've got me, and I'll give you myself. Who does that? I didn't know to do that. Nobody told me to do that. I'm in my kitchen by myself. That's the Spirit of God, because that's what he was teaching me. That's how he chose to bring me. And then he said, okay. But then I also said, and if not, because there is the control side that came, oh, real honestly, right through my family line. But I had my own, you know, my own choices in that, for sure. But really strong in my family line. But if not, I'm done with you. If not, I'm out of here. And if not, I am finished with all of it, even Jesus stuff. I said that. Jesus, I will be finished with you, meaning I will deny you. That's how strong it was for me. There was this fire coming upon me. And for me, it was all or nothing. It was do or die. It was like there's no middle of the road. I thought that's what God does all the time. Maybe he does. I don't know. That's what happened to me. So when I went on this little hunt to, once I had this little tirade with God, and he allowed me to discover him, I was found by him. That's a whole other story of how that happened, which some of you know, not all of you, but just for time's sake, I won't go into it right now. When he came and he birthed me, gave me new birth, and made my spirit alive, and it was so intimate. It was him and me. And I knew. And so because I knew at that time, once the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, not go out and do something nice for somebody else. No, no, no. The gospel of the kingdom was actually presented short, to the point, but there was so much power in it. And not to say doing wonderful things in Jesus' name is not an extension of that. Please, don't think I'm dissing scripture. No. I am saying that Jesus is looking for his righteous ones, but we need to understand the gospel of the kingdom and submit to it. And that was the process I was in. And I did. Thank you, Jesus. And I didn't even have the power to submit myself. He gave me that. Loved me so much. Took me through this process. And one other thing that I said to him, and again, if you come from a background like mine, you know, I thank God for my heritage and my parents and what I went through and all the times I was in church and did all these things. And, you know, I won an award in Catholic school once for memorizing the Beatitudes. They had me, they said, here, I didn't know what the heck they were, but it stuck with me, and I thought, oh my gosh, God, you got me back then, except you were just saying, just wait, honey. You're going to be crazy, you just don't know it yet. In love with me. But what I said to him was, Lord, and when you show me the truth, I said, anything that I've ever thought and ever believed or ever did that isn't true, I'm done with it. I mean, that's how extreme I am. I think you know that. But that's what I said. I'm done. And that means anything in the Catholic Church. Now, I wasn't against Catholic Church. I wasn't against anybody and anything. I didn't even know enough to be against anything. I'm telling you, it was the Spirit of God who was birthing in me this desire to live for him, this desire to give myself to him, this desire to run the race for him, this desire to live authentically, this desire to trash anything that wasn't true, whatever that meant, not people, but stuff, you know, that I thought and believed. It's like, okay. It's like Peter saying, you know, hey, I'll do anything for you. And then Jesus says, no, you'll deny me. You don't even know me. You don't love me. What? No. Yes. Oh. It's kind of like that for me. But I will tell you, when he did save me, every encumbrance fell off of me. Why? Because I told him that's what I wanted. I didn't understand how faithful he would be. I did not know he would do exactly what he put inside of me to agree with. Is that crazy? So I didn't believe in the things that are extra biblical. I didn't believe in the things that were tradition above scripture anymore. And it was so simple for me. Not simple for the people around me at all. And little did I know what persecution would look like for about 10 years. I didn't understand it, didn't know it. Just like, what? I'm sure it could be worse. But for me, with my family, it was really hard. But he gave me the grace. I didn't even know what grace was, but he gave me the grace to just take it and love people and then let him lift. and eyes will see someday. So, okay, let's turn to John 12. This is the Lord's Supper. It's actually 13. I want to look at this. Okay, we're on schedule here. The Lord's Supper, which ties in today, and we'll kind of pull this around. You'll see where I'm going, I think. I hope. Chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. But they belonged to him. They were his own. Okay, now think about this. At that time, during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. Then he poured water in the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus said, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." I want to highlight that verse. And frankly, when I was rereading this morning, that wasn't highlighted to me, but right now it's just jumping off with like signs and bells and whistles. The Lord's saying, this is part of obedience. This is part of saying yes. This is part of presenting. This is part of submitting. This is a part of saying, I want to find every place in your word that says command, or you will, or you do. I want to find that because I don't understand it. I may not agree with it or feel it, but you said it and it's true and that's it. And that's the person that you created me to be. And I don't want to be wishy-washy about it. So if you say this and I'm not experiencing that, the problem is not on your end. It's on my end. Now that may sound strong, but I think the Lord's saying, I want to give you such confidence in me and such confidence in my word that the Spirit of God will leap on the inside of you and me as righteous ones. As we hold fast to something we may not understand, but we will say yes and amen to. We will agree with, even if we don't understand. So this verse is really, really important. Peter said, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Now, can you see this? See? It's like, what? This is Jesus and Peter? And he says, if you buck me, you have no part of me. Those are not little baby in a manger words. Those are Lion of Judah words. But they're said in love, and I don't know how he said it, what tone of voice he had. But he had to be strong with Peter. But he prepared Peter to respond. He gave Peter an opportunity, but he prepared him, okay? Like for me, I can't figure out all kinds of things that have happened in my life, but I know that any good thing that would come out of me only comes because he's in me and that he is the one who empowers me to stand. He's the one who empowers me to do. He's the one who empowers good things to come. And I'm believing that in the season we're in right now, the end of 2018, that the Lord is saying to each one of us, I am going to show you more about me than you've ever seen before. Step out and believe. Step out and believe so you'll hear my voice when I say, stand up and do it. And don't question, even in the midst of your pain. Like Brother Yun, hearing, stand up. Walk out of the prison and you've got mashed, smashed legs. I read that over and over and it's like, huh? How? How? And that's the mystery. But the Lord is saying, step into areas that you don't think you can, that you don't feel you have any ability for, and that's where the grace of God will kick in and take you into places that are completely unknown, even in the midst of hurt and even in the midst of pain, emotional pain, physical pain, mental anguish, honestly. So this was part of Peter's faith walk. This was part of Peter being able to stand and come back from denying Jesus. We haven't even gotten there yet. But he balked at him. And you know the time when he said, get behind me, Satan, and we all hold that, you know, hold fast to that. But this passage right here, in the midst of the Last Supper, think about this. Think about Peter. Think about ourselves in the midst of this. Think about what there might be one thing that Rachel spoke by the Spirit that the Lord would say, catch that. Not that it just was one, but catch that. That's for you. That's for now. Get up. Rise up. Let's go. Come on. If the Lord says he disciplines those he loves, wouldn't our heart's cry be, would you please discipline me because you love me so that I will know it and I'll see it and understand it because you're a good daddy and good daddies do that. Please do that and please give me the ability to respond. We do both, right? So this is what I'm talking about right here for 2019. I believe it'll take us into another place. Thank you, Jesus. Oof, those are strong words. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but wash my hands and my head. I love it. Jesus says in verse 10, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Verse 11, for he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. Whoa. So he knew the motivation of the heart. He knew the actions. He knew what was preceding. He knew what was going on. He knew who was presenting himself. He knew all of that. And he knew who wasn't. And he knew the righteous and the unrighteous, and he knew that Judas had been on his team. Imagine that one. Talk about team dynamics. Woo. So, verse 12. So when he washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Let me read that again, verse 12. Do you know what I have done to you? So let me read it in the AMP. So when he had finished washing their feet and had put on his garments and had sat down again, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? Do you understand? Do you know inside? And do you understand? Meaning, Jesus is going, hello, even if you don't, you posture yourself to understand. And he will give you the understanding in the right time, in the right way. He will respond because he is faithful, but you posture yourself that way, and that's what he was telling him. Okay, and remember in verse 7, when Peter first questioned him, and Jesus said, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. That's verse 7. Verse 12, do you know what I have done to you? Do you understand what I have done to you? Now then he goes on and explains himself. Verse 13, you call me teacher, you call me Lord, and you're right. So I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. But washing someone's feet, someone else's feet, without Jesus being Lord and teacher, where we are connecting with him, participating with him, agreeing with him, submitting to him, presenting ourselves to him, is not the same. What if Judas would have done that? Interesting. So the Lord knew how to get to the heart of things with Peter, just right down into the heart of it all, and told him, you need to understand, but I'm the one who gives you that, because you call me teacher, you call me Lord. Lord means king, Lord means I'm in charge of you, in charge of your life. You know, when we say, oh, Jesus, you're Lord, and he's not, that has to grieve the Spirit of God. And sometimes people might say that about somebody else, and, you know, Jesus is Lord of their life, and maybe he's not. Jesus knows. But for us, we're responsible, first and foremost, right, for him to be teacher and Lord, and that we're connecting at that level with everything, everything that we do. For 2019, let's think about this. Verse 15, for I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. So whatever I did to you, for you, through you, by you, in you, that's out of that outpouring, out of that intimacy, the revelation and the understanding, out of that understanding, out of that knowing, then we release to do great things to other people and for other people. That's the pattern. That's the way. That's how God set it up, which is really cool. Verse 16, truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. Verse 17, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Okay, let me read it in the Amplified. If you know these things, blessed and happy and to be envied are you if you practice them, if you act accordingly and really do them. Okay, again, what's Jesus looking at? He's looking at the motivation of the heart. He's looking at everything but it. He's not just looking at sentiment. He's not just looking at, oh, I've got to do these great things. There are principles in the kingdom, and there's blessing that's released, but the fullness that is released from God will come through intimacy. And that burning and that knowing and that desire to see people saved, to carry the gospel of the kingdom around the world, that comes from the Spirit of God. That same heart is in Jesus. And he said, ask me for that vision. Ask me for the nations and I will give them. Ask me for the vision for the souls of those who are not yet coming into the kingdom. Ask me and I'll give that to you so that you will do it and go beyond what you see. Go beyond. Go to the heart. When we went to Mother Teresa's homes in Calcutta many years ago and spent a month in Calcutta, and we went to one home of many, it was called the Home of Death and Dying. And there were, you know, many of us working together. And there were people who knew Jesus and people who didn't. And they're all taking care of people who are dying. And that's great. But if you die without knowing Jesus, you don't get to see Jesus. And we have to believe that and know that. We have to understand that. That has to be something that we want to develop. Because he's saying, do you understand? Do you know? Do you know what I've done? So we instructed our team, give them the gospel. They're on their way out. No one else was doing it. It didn't matter. This is like, but give them a drink of water. Wipe their brow. So many of us carry the good news, and we carry so much, and we have so much inside to be able to be released to our family members, to release to the people around us. And the Lord says, speak it. Don't just participate at a shallow level and say that's the fullness of love. It's an expression, but the fullness comes from the Spirit of God inside. The fullness comes from agreeing and cooperating with the Spirit of God and the fire of God that burns brightly if we will allow that and if we invite that. That's the truth. That's what God, Jesus was preparing Peter for that. Jesus prepared Peter for what was coming because he had no clue. He didn't understand. And Jesus said, you've got to get this, son and brother. Get it. And so when we carry that fire, there will be times where we speak and we are not holding back because Jesus says to. And we will receive. receive persecution, and that's okay. That's really okay. It's not just okay, it's good. If you know these things, verse 17, you are blessed if you do them. 18, I do not speak of all of you. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. So Jesus was fully aware of Judas. From now on, I am telling you, before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. That you may believe. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Let me read it again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. We have to recognize who's sending us. We have to recognize the sender. We have to recognize as we're receiving. The Lord is saying that intimacy is what I'm calling for above all else. But it doesn't stay there. It can't. If we say that we're intimate with Jesus, it can't. We can't help but proclaim that Jesus died and Jesus rose and he's coming again. You can't help it. Or intimacy is not as intimate as you think. Because he prepares us. It's not just, well, those are for the evangelists. He says, do the work of an evangelist and understand the gospel of the kingdom. Barb and I were talking. Hi, Barb. Grandma Barb's here. Just so good to see you. And we talked last week a little bit, I think it was. Maybe the week before. I forget the exact day. And Grandma Barb's here and such a blessing to us in this family. And sometimes when we continue to age, you know, you might think, what's my purpose? Why am I here? And I say, you got a lot to say, girl. And you got a lot of things to do. And she does. And you are. And you will continue. And that boldness that is moving through you is continuing to increase. The older you get, praise God. Good for you. Let that be an example. Honestly, sometimes people don't like that. That's okay. When Jesus had said this, he truly was troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. The disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said, tell us who it is of whom he's speaking. He, leaning back thus on Jesus' bosom, said, Lord, who is it? Jesus said, that is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him. So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Can you imagine this? What? Therefore, Jesus said, what you do, do quickly. Jesus knew exactly the condition of the heart and what would happen. Now, no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him, for some were supposing because Judas had the money box that Jesus was saying to him, buy the things we have need of for the feast, or else that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel, he went out, and it was night. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him, Jesus, in himself, and he will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I gave to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, put your finger there and jump ahead to the next chapter in verse 15. Chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments if you love me. There's no doubt about it. It can't be just part of it. You will keep my commandments. That's verse 15. Chapter 14, verse 15. You will obey me, some versions say. If you love me, you will keep, you will obey my commands. And that means that if we don't, we'll be quick to repent. Quick. Because we really love Jesus. And Peter was on that, in that track. Let's go back. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, followers, if you have love for one another. That means that Jesus is first, and out of that will flow love for one another. It's the other way around than what many of us have thought, perhaps growing up or even in, you know, other extended circumstances. Simon Peter said, Lord, where are you going? Jesus said, where I go, you can't follow me now, but you will later. Now listen to Peter. Peter says, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus said, will you lay down your life for me? Let's look at it again. Verse 37. Peter said, Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Let's put our names in there, right? Jesus said, will you really lay down your life for me? I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, before a rooster crows, you will deny me, completely disown me. Three times. That's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning. Just want to finish up. Rachel played a beautiful song this morning, but I think it's really, really important. To finish this up, I read you some things in Matthew 25. Now I'm going to finish up with Matthew 26, verse 6. That's very important. If we can connect the dots here for ourselves spiritually, in other words, receive spiritual understanding, revelation from God. I'm going to wrap it up with this. This can be life-changing, you know, deep in our life. Before Jesus died. Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, verse 7, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. In other words, doing good things. Great things for the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said, why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed for me. Verse 11, for you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me at that time. Verse 12, for when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. And then finally, the last verse, verse 13, truly I say to you, wherever this good news, the gospel is preached in the whole world. Can I read that to you again? Truly I tell you, wherever this good news, the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told in memory of her, told or spoken of. So if she's preparing Jesus for burial, that means that he was doing what he came to this earth to do, to present himself to the Father, to die for us so that we could live for him. And then out of that, we would help others who needed visiting, who need help, do all the good things. But without that intimacy, okay, there would be no understanding that Jesus died for us. I didn't have it. Early 20s, I didn't have understanding, but I knew or was told had some level of understanding, kind of like Judas, probably, some level of understanding, but not spiritual understanding. It was natural. Natural understanding. But the Lord was saying, spiritually, this is what I've got for you. Spiritual understanding. I'm giving you this opportunity right now to receive spiritual understanding. That's what he's saying. He's saying, guys, do you see what she's doing? Do you see what she's recognizing? Do you see that she knows me? Do you see that she's doing exactly what needs to be done to prepare me, to anoint me for the very thing I've come to do for you? So I've died, I'm going to die, and I must go into the earth, because except a seed or a corn of wheat die, it cannot come back to life. And he's saying, I'm going to do for you what needs to be done, and I am going to allow you to pattern your life after me. Because when you recognize that I died for you to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, to become the righteousness of God, to step into everything that I have done to enable you to know me, to represent me, to present me to others, to carry the gospel of the kingdom to the four corners of the earth, starting in your own family, then you're stepping into what you were destined to do. And that comes through closeness and intimacy. Then you will not say no. Then you will not disobey me. Then you will not, because I will give you the grace and the empowerment to do what I've called you to do because you love me. Because you'll obey me because you love me. I'm worth it. And that's what Mary did. And she poured that alabaster jar right on the feet of Jesus. And when she did, everything changed, preparing Jesus to go into the ground to be buried so that he could raise from the dead. And the Lord says, you have new life today. I'm giving you new life. Most of us, if not all, are already born again. So we're born again, right, to new life. The Lord says, I want you to walk as though you mean it. I want you to say yes to the Spirit of God inside. And I am going to let you run that race, and you'll finish well if you want to. I won't make you, but you will. If you want on that journey to finish well and do all the great exploits that Peter ended up doing, and more so because we have the Spirit of God inside, oh my gosh, everything will change. And I believe today's that day. I'm going to pray. Because I believe that the communion time that we had, worship time, thank you, Kim, all of this today, so timely. And the Lord saying at the end of the year, do you understand? It's not just do you see what I see. Do you know me in this area? Do you have the revelation? I'm going to pray. Father, wherever you want to take this, I just thank you, Lord, for connecting the spiritual dots inside of us. Spirit of revelation, I ask for you to come in a new and profound way where who you are to us so grows after this moment, right now in time, this closeness, this intimacy that we can taste. Your presence is so holy that we won't dare enter into communion without our hearts being postured in a way saying, Jesus, everything for you. Everything for you. Everything for you. Today, Lord, we present ourselves to you as Mary of Bethany washed your feet, that we would be able to proclaim what she did, who she was, and more than that, who she knew, and what was the outpouring of that, and how she was used to change the world. So, Father, let it be today. Thank you for this intimate time, just the reflection of how amazing you are as teacher and Lord. And that all of our, I don't want to, all of our running away, all of our Jonah-like behavior would absolutely stop. First with me, and then with all of us as I'm the one holding the mic, Jesus. We would say your way, you, right now. Lord, that we would back up, hold fast. That we would understand the true gospel of the kingdom. And then carry you and see your glory and the knowledge, the true spiritual knowledge of the glory of the Lord to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Father, that we would step into our destiny as people who are stepping out way beyond the waves, way beyond the shore, way beyond anything, God, into the deepest places that we're covered over with your goodness, covered over with your mercy, covered with your fire, that your fire would come upon each one of us right now in a new way by rising up on the inside, that you would stir us, Lord, in this time between Christmas and New Year's, that you would say, I am in the 2018 and I'm propelling you to the 2019, and that everything that I have said and I have spoken is true. Embrace me and you embrace the truth. Embrace my word and you embrace me and you embrace the truth. Thank you, Father, for this time of reflection, for this very special communion service. Today, at the end of 2018, we just love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. As we close here, I'm just going to have the same song that Rachel played just to play to close, so we can sit and reflect or step up and go if we need to, whatever. But I just really believe that this represents the gospel of the kingdom. So we are destined for good works that are prepared in advance for us. These good works are prepared. He who began a good work shall bring it to completion. The Lord is calling us to good works, but with the heart. And sometimes we step into those good works, even without the right heart. Step in. Keep stepping in, and the Lord will catch our hearts up. But he's saying this is the goal, that our hearts will match. Thank you, Jesus. So after we sing, play this song, you just rest for a minute as we've prayed, then Troy has something to share, and then we'll end. So we can play that. Just reflect for a minute. It is a 3-minute song. Thank you, Jesus.
I am is all I have, and all I have to give, and I give it all to you. Let the fragrance arise, la 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 la, la 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 la. Let the
share.
I'll take my alabaster box and I'll break it open. I'll break it open and I'll pour it out. And I'll pour it out over you.
So we have some exciting news that we want to share with everyone. So we're just bringing in the kids real quick. Do we have Amanda? Do we have Elijah and them? Jamie, do you mind getting the other classroom? Oh, they are coming. Great. So just, you know, as we head into this new year, carrying that, just that spirit of connection with Jesus, communion, and all that. But do we have everyone back from the classrooms? I think, do we have a Cameron, Josh? All right. So, as you may know, you should know, you probably do know, we have a team headed to Brazil here in a few weeks. And actually less than that, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat are heading out on January 10th for Brazil. And then there's a team of us that are leaving about a week and a half or so later on the 22nd. So we're going to be there for a couple weeks, 2.5 weeks or so. But we have a new development. As you know, we've been praying, and we've got a worship center there in Brazil, in the City of God favela. And so the nice place in the middle that's nicely done, that's our worship center. And then since then, as you know, last year, the Lord provided, and we were able to buy the place to the farther side of that, to the left side of that nice concreted front area. And there's more current pictures, but these were the easiest to get for this morning. And then, so we've been praying about this other area on the right-hand side, and it was not available, and we tried last year. We kept trying to find the owner, kept trying, nothing happening. Pastor Jerseo was trying, nothing happening. And there's Pastor Bill and Inez. That's Casa de Jesus' building, and Iris is there on the other side, right across from ours. Do you have that? Just there was the other picture. So last year, what happened is the building to the left came available, and we were able to purchase that. And as that purchase was going forward, there's a picture of Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat there with Pastor Seo and the couple who owned this part here on the left side, and they received the Lord at the signing of the final purchase. The people who owned the building actually prayed and received the Lord right there, which was amazing. There they are. That was the couple that owned it. So again, the building was right behind them. So since last year, we started this process after we bought it to remodel it, and had a unique situation which caused the roof fell. Many of you may remember when they started to just kind of open up the two rooms together. But that led into being able to actually just go forward and put in some serious pillars so that we could build a roof that would also be able to be the second floor, the ground floor for that. But it was on our heart to buy the place to the right side, and had been, like I said, and we could not find the person. Well, they came to Inez and Pastor Seo and said, "We want to sell this to you." And so we're in the process of finalizing that purchase and paying for that. So have a opportunity for us to be a part of that. And I don't know, Justin and Derek, if you guys want to pass these out to everyone. But this is an opportunity as a body to participate in that. And so in having these three small houses/rooms/apartments, joining them together is going to give space for the worship center on the first floor. And then on the second floor, there's been a vision to continue what Inez Nunes, who's the head of Frontline Brazil, has a vision for, is just employing and helping some of these people have other options besides the ones that they have in the favela, which are either no options or not so great options that we won't share about with the children here. So last year, we actually the room to the left, we were able to purchase it and remodel it. It was $8,000 to purchase that, and then remodeling on top of that. And this side, the other side, they're actually selling to us for $6,000. So it's the same size. So it's going to, again, add another 50% more to what we have. And so, I would just like to encourage us to take this before the Lord, and just to ask him how you can be a part of this. So this is just a pledge sheet. And then, if it's on your heart and you're already like, man, I've been praying for this building, this other side as well, which we have been, you can give towards that today. But we do want to buy it, which is $6,000, and then remodel it as well so that we can get it to have the roof level with the other one and open, take out the wall in between, hopefully without the roof falling when we're not planning on it this time. That would be nice. And we're going to take some extra steps towards that. But to put in the deep foundation so we can actually go up a second or a third story as the Lord leads. So again, just to go over this, if you'd like to be a part of this, just as we would like to sow this much into the expansion of Frontline Worship Center in the City of God community in Sao Paulo. And it has the goal of $6,000 plus to do the remodel and get it all finished. And, a couple different options. If you want to give by credit card, you can fill out the information on the donation card in the back of the chair. If you want to give today or tomorrow to get kind of a last year-end gift in, definitely please. That would be awesome. Or if you'd like to pledge, it's just a deadline of January 8th. And the reason for that is the pastors are leaving 2 days later, and we want to take that money down, and we want to purchase that, finalize that purchase, and have all the monies taken care of, and be able to start hopefully being able to work on the remodel process before the team even gets there. Or maybe once we get there, depending on how the time frame works. So if you want to just hold this paper, I'm just going to pray, and we're just going to commit this to the Lord, and he's got the finances for this, and just whatever he puts on your heart. So just take this before the Lord. So Father, I just thank you for this privilege and opportunity to partner with what you're doing in Brazil, Lord. I thank you for how you're going to use this facility, how you've already used it as a worship center, and how you're going to use it to affect so many more lives, Lord. And just, it's crowded all the time. It's always packed full. So this extra room is going to be a big, big benefit for the worship center, but also what you want to release in entrepreneurial options there in City of God. So we just ask that you would speak to us about what's on your heart, how we can cooperate to see this need met and to see this project finished. So just thank you for speaking to us and for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. So bless you guys. So if you want to, if something's on your heart, just fill it out right now and drop it in the offering box. Feel free to bring checks tomorrow or, again, credit card donations, however you want to do that. Here you go.
So as you know, our New Year's Eve celebration is tomorrow evening. So if anyone is able right now to help us bring in tables and set up the tables and chairs in the back, that would be a huge blessing. So there's places for us to all sit as we're here playing games and enjoying food and fellowship tomorrow night. Thank you.